Do you realize that when Jesus of Nazareth was put to death on Calvary's cross, he was actually being treated as an ordinary prisoner? Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. This actual scriptural record is simply a factual account of what actually happened there. There's no special emphasis set forth to stir our hearts. It's just a simple, modest report. Couldn't be put any simpler, couldn't be stated any more clearly than just this. This is what happened. The death of the Son of God was something remarkable. It was something tremendous. It was something so wonderful the angels in heaven desired to look into it to understand. But so far as the record is concerned here, given to the world, it simply says they took him to the cross and they crucified him. And the very fact that this happened in this way, when God himself could have prevented it easily, God himself let this happen in the way in which it did. God's hand was upon him all the time in everything that happened. It is the mark of God's gracious dealing with us that he allowed these things to happen. He's Almighty God. He could have stopped anything that was going on, but he allowed it to happen in just this way so that we might actually be saved through him. No one else would ever die with such profound meaning as Jesus of Nazareth died on Calvary's cross. Actually, there were two other men died that day, but their meaning wasn't the same as his. Every believer in himself must die in order to live with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus died out there for us all to see it, that we might definitely keep this in mind. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ came to die. And in so doing, something happens to us. The Lord Jesus Christ came to walk right into this experience of death that he might be raised from the dead and forever, as it were, change the whole idea of death. I do not know what sort of image that we carry in our minds about death, but I expect for many of us, we would look upon death as a black hole in the ground. When you go there, you just can't go any further. You're just at the end. It really isn't. Death is not exactly like a black hole in the ground. It's more like a tunnel in the side of a mountain. And you can move in. It looks like a black hole. But if you move in, you can see, if you look all the way through, the glimmer of light at the other end. And you pass through it and you come into the bright light of the presence of God. Actually, that's the way in which we can understand death now, since Jesus Christ died and was raised from the dead. A matter of interest to me as I think about this, and I want to mention it to you, Jesus Christ came to die. He gave himself a ransom in the sight of God, and all that was marvelous. And yet, actually, lesser hands than his own were the ones that actually put him to death. These lesser men, for lower reasons than he had, actually put him to death, the death that he came to endure. Now here is a lesson for us who follow him. It is for us to be willing to die in the will of God. I know that's easier said than done, and yet it needs to be said, because it is going to be done, really. Actually, so far as you and I are concerned, we must in ourselves spiritually pass through this experience. And there are occasionally, every now and again, somebody must actually pass through it in a real literal sense of the word, which will mean exactly the same thing. It's for us to be willing to die in the will of God. But the thing that I now want to point out to you is that this dying that we are to do in the will of God may actually be, so far as we are concerned, the result of evil actions by others. When we think about the matter of being crucified, I know we expect to, as it were, in a sense, yield ourselves to crucifixion. But you know, the figure of crucifixion, it's a little difficult to think about crucifying yourself. You usually yield yourself to be crucified. It would seem as though God would provide those who would do the crucifying. And that can happen so far as you and I are concerned. Actually, and we think about this thing, we think about the cross. While we do take up the cross, as the Lord Jesus did, and we walk to our Calvary, as the Lord Jesus did, and he walked to Golgotha, the place of the skull, as he did, that all may be his part. But when the actual dying took place, it was these callous, careless soldiers who didn't understand what it was all about. They were the ones that actually killed him. And I want to leave that with you and with me. So far as you and I are concerned, and you who are listening to me is concerned, when we hear about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have any kind of spiritual insight, spiritual understanding, we know that there is a sense in which the way he died for us and was raised from the dead is the way we are to yield ourselves to God, that we might be raised from the dead by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all this is true. When we have this in mind now, for one more time let me say to you, when you have in mind that you are going to be crucified so that you can actually be raised from the dead, you'll be crucified with Christ that you may be raised from the dead, I'm going to point out to you that this crucifixion of yourself, which may be different for one person and is different from another, will always be a matter of denying oneself and actually suffering the kind of experience that there is when you just reckon yourself indeed to be dead. This kind of experience can actually be promoted by people who do things that are wrong to you. They do things that are hurtful to you. And this can actually promote the crucifixion of yourself, even as it is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, if he had been able, as it were, to yield himself to death, and actually, in a sense, put himself to death, which would have been a case of suicide, but if he had done that, you'd almost feel as though he could be a little proud of it. He had actually done it himself. But in this way, he yielded himself to it. If God had taken him, it would have been wonderful. But God didn't take him. God turned him over to lesser men with lesser motives who went ahead and did what God had in mind to be done. Actually, this business of being turned over to others is really an added price that we pay. It's a matter of humiliation. Now, our crucifixion may not be related to the salvation of anyone else, but it's always a part of our own spiritual experience. We need to pass through it, and God will help us by letting other people function in some way to bring us to this experience of crucifixion that we might be raised from the dead. Now, in the few moments that I have left, I want to draw your attention to what was put on the cross. Here you will see, as you look at it, that the word is that a title was prepared. Look in verse 19 and 20. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. The writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read, Many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Some years ago, I had the experience of being present at a forum when a group of ministers were discussing the Bible. At that particular time that we were having this discussion, the question was whether or not the Bible is to be taken literally as really the Word of God. And that's exactly what I think it is. I think you just take it word for word like it is, that it is exactly as it was written, is the way in which God wanted it to be written. I think that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, in the course of our forum, in the course of our debate, there was an older man than I, and a man to whom I should show respect and honor, and he took the position that the Bible did not mean literally exactly what it said, and we got into some discussion about it, and he used this. He said, why, you look at the crucifixion, and you'll find that in one gospel it will say that they wrote on the cross, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. In another gospel it will say that they wrote the accusation, the King of the Jews. And another one they will say, a superscription, this is the King of the Jews. And this one now, in John, a title, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And so this man turned to me, feeling a kind of triumphant, and said, there you are. You've got it right in the Bible itself. There are four different statements, and they're all different. Now, I want you to notice the first two that I quoted to you. The one in Matthew says, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews, and Matthew calls it a superscription. Now, Mark says, the accusation, the King of the Jews. And if you stop to think about it, could be exactly the same title up there. And could be written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. But the accusation part was, the King of the Jews. Then Luke speaks of a superscription saying, this is the King of the Jews, leaving out the word Jesus. And now here, the title, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And while you're thinking about that, recognizing that these words are different, now you look at verse 20 and see that it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. There's nothing at all to indicate that each time the words were precisely the same when it was written in these different languages. Actually, we're prepared, because it is written in these different languages, to realize that these different ways of reporting it were not intended to be significant because of their differences. Now, I want to say something further. You'll notice in verse 21 that the chief priest said to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." In some respects, I have a feeling as if this man had been pushed by them and pushed by them to go ahead and do something he didn't want to do anyway. And in this way, he maybe is trying to give some tribute to a person that he must personally really admire. I really think he did. But in this whole story, as we have set it out before you, we see the various motives of men. You see one after another. You see the motive that the chief priest said. They wanted to kill the man that was upsetting things. The motive of Pontius Pilate. He wanted to get rid of the man that was endangering his political career. And the motives of the high priests, they wanted to get rid of the man that was disturbing their religious life. And so far as the soldiers were concerned, they just wanted to get rid of the man for the day's work. So we have this whole sad story brought before us in a way that humbles us, and we ask God to help us to appreciate it. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us humbly to appreciate that Christ Jesus died for us.